Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. There has been sentiment surrounding the beginning of this century that was also felt around the beginning of the 20th century. Very similar feelings. It is the idea that mankind is making the world better. That mankind is, by the use of his intellect and reason, is going to cure the world of all its ills. You can see it in many ways, focusing on new energy sources, ridding of diseases, getting rid of pollutants, the preaching of tolerance, many, many ways that the society around us does this. During the similar period, at the turn of the 20th century, it was even stronger. People felt even more emboldened by the ability of mankind to forge a new way. If you study history at all, you know what happened at the beginning of the 20th century, and you may find it surprising then that the 20th century is the bloodiest century in history. That through wars, there were more people killed in the 20th century than all other wars combined before that. This has somewhat dampened the optimism that some in society feels today, but again, it's starting to lose sight of it. And they're thinking that, once again, we can overcome whatever comes our way. But if you would recognize society as itself, that you would actually see it has become more brazen and more sinful, that it is willing to show its sin to the world. And that if you don't accept me for who I am, then you're the one that's wrong. None of my actions are wrong. You say, well, why is this? Why has society become this way? I would actually tell you that I think it's the fault of Christians. Not of society, but of those that claim to be Christians. Christian society, for lack of a better term, has lost its way. When the time that the Lord saved me in the early 1980s until today, mainstream Christianity in the States has been focused on trying to reform society through the laws of society, through politics. They've cried out when laws that were based upon Christianity have been struck down. And they have gone about trying to get elected people that would follow their morals, that would follow their penchants, and now it seems that they're even leaving those things behind just for the right policies. Christians today have forgotten, and I say this in a broad sense, that it does no one any good to reform their morals if they haven't reformed their heart. If they haven't been born again, they're going to have good morals as they go to hell. We need to stop being so worried about the laws and focus more upon grace. We need to stop being so consumed by what the government does, by what the politicians are doing, and focus more on what the gospel is about. Speaking to the heart and soul of an individual who needs salvation. Yes, we need to be responsible citizens. Vote and do our best, but our focus and our time needs to be spent in one place, and that is with God. Whether it's in His Word, whether it's in prayer, whether it's with His people, and whether it's out proclaiming that truth to the world. We're looking directly today at just one verse, and that's verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus tells His disciples that they are the salt of the earth. If more Christians took this to heart, I think we'd see a different society. We'd see a different result from society. It is not that we try to change society, it's that society would naturally change because of the souls of individuals, because of what has happened to people. When a man is made a new creation by being born of the Spirit, his morals will change. It is part and parcel of what happens to an individual. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Now, I want to look at this verse very closely. The first phrase, ye are the. Ye are the. Before we even get to the salt. Because I want you to consider a few things. That first word, ye. Jesus is speaking here, and it's a very important word to consider. And you say, well, why so? Well, think about what Jesus is saying in the context. You see, the Beatitudes, the reason I read that in our opening, the Beatitudes are not a prescription to become a Christian. It's a portrait of what a Christian looks like. So when Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth, he's saying ye that reflect and resemble this portrait. Those of you who are poor in spirit, then you are the salt of the earth. You, those of you that are mourning over your sin, you're the salt of the earth. Those of you that are meek, those of you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, those of you that are merciful, those of you that are pure in heart, that are peacemakers, those of you that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's what he's saying. That's what the ye is talking about. If that picture is not you, then you aren't the salt of the earth. Jesus is saying that ye, you, as an individual, if this is you, if you are a believer, if you are born again, if Jesus has changed your heart, then you are the salt of the earth. And so the first thing you have to do when you consider this passage, this verse, is consider, does the ye apply to me? Does it apply to me? Is this portrait that Jesus has painted, does it reflect who I am? If you don't know the portrait, then you better study the portrait. Because it's not something about boasting. It's not, nowhere in here does it say, those who do good works. Those who are born into good families. Those who are wealthy. Those who are not doing the wrong things. It's those who are mourning about their sin. Those who are poor in spirit. Those who are meek. Those who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Because they feel in their hearts that they are not. That's what he's talking about. Because those people see Christ as Savior. So examine yourself. Do these things speak about you? Are you a peacemaker? Do you proclaim the gospel? Have you ever been persecuted for the name of Jesus? It still happens today, even in Western societies, even in Britain, even in the United States, it still happens. Has it happened to you? If it hasn't happened to you, consider whether or not you're a Christian. Consider whether or not you truly are a believer. Because it happens in... Persecution just doesn't take one form. It doesn't mean that you're going to be killed, necessarily. It doesn't mean that people are going to take away all that you have. Sometimes it's just the way they talk about you. Sometimes it's just the way they look at you. Is Jesus calling you salt? He says, ye are. Now, again, you may say, well, you're focusing on these little words. Why? Because I think they're important. Because he says, ye are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you will be the salt of the earth. He says you are the salt of the earth. That's a present tense. You're currently, if you are a Christian, you are the salt. You are the salt of the earth. It exists in you at the moment. If you are living the life of a Christian, the portrait that he paints in the Sermon on the Mount, the portrait that he paints in the Beatitudes, people are going to change their behavior when you're around. They're going to do it. They're either going to persecute you or they're going to stop doing those things. That's what people do. It amazes me at times when some of my family from Pennsylvania, when I'm around and they use foul language and they'll say, sorry, I forgot. You know what that is? That's salt. That's salt at work because they feel guilty for using it when they're around me when they don't feel guilty for using it when they're around other people. There's a difference that takes place. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to do them any good because they're still not a Christian. But that's how salt works. People will change around you. Sometimes for your better. Sometimes for your worse. Sometimes they'll persecute you because of being salt. And sometimes they'll conform because you're salt. People react to those things that make them feel differently. If you have a cut on your finger and you decide, oh, I'm hungry, and you go and you get a bag of crisps, and you forget, and you use that finger to grab the crisps, what happens? It stings, doesn't it? That salt from that crisp is going to sting the finger. What are you going to do with the next crisp? You're going to use the other hand, aren't you? You're going to switch the bag over to this hand and take the crisp out with this finger. Why? Because you don't want that salt to be rubbed in the wound anymore. Right? That's the exact thing that the world does. When they're around you, if you're a Christian, and you don't act like they act, they're going to do something to change that. Either they're going to conform their behavior, or they're going to mock you. You have to be prepared for either case. Ye are currently, if you're a Christian, that means you are, whether you're acting like it or not, the. Now this may even seem like a stranger word. You are the salt of the earth. Now you say, well, why are you focused on that? Now I want you to consider, if Christ had said, as a lot of people quote it, ye are salt, what would it have meant? It would have left open the possibility that there's other salt out there. Right? If he said, ye are salt of the earth, maybe there's other salt. Maybe there's other things out there that are going to work as salt does in the world. But Jesus didn't say that. He used, ye are the salt. He used a singular to say that there's only one type of salt that matters in the world. And it's not the salt you put on your food. It's the salt that a Christian is. He said, ye are the salt. This rules out every other type of potential salt in the world. It doesn't make a difference if you reform society if the heart of individuals hasn't changed. Why? Because what happens in eternity? Their reformed morals has done them no good. You go around the world and you see different groups that have gone out as missionaries. You can see it in the Mormons. You can see it in the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can see it with Catholicism. You can see it in so many ways. They'll do good for a society. The society will be better. But nobody's life has changed. No one's heart has changed. Why? Because they're not salt. Because that's the difference. Salt is the difference. It will make an impact. But at the same time, this leads to responsibility. Because if Christians are the salt, meaning that there is no other salt, then it is the responsibility of Christians to be salt, to be the salt of the earth. So when I spoke before and I said it's actually the fault of Christians that the world has gone farther down the path that it's on, that's why. Because Christians have stopped being salt. In so many places, they've stopped focusing on what makes them salt. Good morals does not make a Christian salt. Being close to the Savior makes them salt. Understanding His Word, having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, being merciful. When you look around, when I look on Facebook and social media, and I see the way that people who claim to be Christians are speaking about others, that's not salt. There's no mercy there. Where is the mercy that Jesus speaks about? Where is the meekness? Where is the making peace? Where are those things? They're non-existent. If you're a Christian, you should examine yourself in the light of the Beatitudes, because we have failed. We have failed the world as being salt. So much that goes on is our fault, not their fault. Sin has always been around. But when it's Christians who stop focusing on the Savior and being a difference in the world because of that focus, then it has to be laid at our feet. Not at the feet of the sinners. Sinners are going to sin. That's what we do. Christians need to be saltier. Not in the sense of their language. But you understand what I mean. They have to act like Christians. They have to stand for what is right. They have to make sure that they're following Jesus Christ the right way. In mercy, in righteousness, in meekness, mourning over their sins and mourning over the sins of others. That they're following such a path. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, look at the sin they're committing. But there's so many in the Bible. You think of Daniel, Jeremiah, Nehemiah. and so many others that have claimed the responsibility for the sins of their nation when they didn't commit any of the sins. Well, when did Jeremiah follow after all the false gods of the people in Jerusalem? Not once. What about Daniel when he's in Babylon? Did at any time he bow down to the gods of Babylon? No. And yet, what does he say? They're his sins. If we're not salt, they're our sins. They have to be laid on our shoulders because we haven't been the salt we're supposed to be. We have to sit back and ask ourselves, would the laws that are so abhorrent to us have been passed if we as Christians were the salt we're supposed to be? If we've been acting the way we were supposed to act? You see, because salt has a purpose. Ye are the salt of the earth. You see, the world needs salt, doesn't it? Because salt has a purpose. One purpose of it is to preserve. One time back in Kentucky, Jennifer introduced me to something called country ham. Country ham is the saltiest thing I've ever put in my mouth because it is preserved. It's hung up and it's preserved with salt. And the only way to have country ham is to use it sparingly in some other dish. Because if you try to just eat a piece of country ham, you are going to be overwhelmed with how much salt there is. Salt preserves things. It preserves society. It keeps it from sin. Just as that cut on your finger, and then that salt gets in it and it stings, well, that salt is actually good for the cut. It will keep the infection out because salt preserves things. The psalmist says in Psalm 14, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Jehovah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon Jehovah? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous." People constantly think that society is going down a path that is unrecoverable. You know, they thought that during the Great Awakening. They thought that during the days of Spurgeon. They thought that before every great revival. You know, Jesus may be coming again. Well, he definitely is coming again, but he may be coming again soon. I don't know. But guess what? We still need to be salt until he does. That's the requirement. Because salt preserves things. It removes the impurities out of the wound. And guess what? Society is full of wounds because of the sin that's rampant. And salt purifies that, preserves that. Not only that, it gives it taste, doesn't it? As you can attest from my wife, she's a prolific user of salt. She just loves it on her food. It improves taste. Job says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" If you don't salt your eggs, if you're frying your eggs, is there any taste in that? Well, no. There's no taste at all in the white of an egg until you put salt on there. And then you enjoy it. Right? Well, that's the same way with Christianity. Think about how tasteless life would be without the joy that God gives to Christians. Not just for Christians. For those that aren't Christians. Because we set a standard. We set a standard of peace in our hearts, of joy within, of being satisfied with who God is and who we are in light of God, apart from all the things that the world has. There are certainly people that chase after money, chase after entertainments, chase after all sorts of things. But the world knows that that's not the answer. How do they know that? Because Christians have the answer. Because Christians have peace, they have joy, they have satisfaction in who they are, regardless of how they look, how they dress, what kind of car they drive, what kind of house they live in. It matters not because they know that God is for them. Who can be against them? But see, when Christians aren't salt, that taste is gone. And people run and chase after everything. Everything in the world to try and have something. Salt is also part of the covenant. It's part of the covenant of grace. It's the part of every covenant in the Scriptures. Leviticus 2 tells us, "In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." In Numbers 18, and all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto Jehovah have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before Jehovah unto thee, and to thy seed with thee. You see, in the Old Testament, every offering that was brought before the Lord had to have salt with it. Why? Why would that need be there? Well, if you bring a meat offering, what have you done? You've killed an animal. What sets in as soon as you've killed an animal? All the impurities of death. All the things that take place when something dies. It starts to putrefy. So what do? You put salt there to stop the putrefaction. So that when you bring a sacrifice, you bring salt. Always. Always. And that's what God tells the Israelites. But what does Jesus do? He goes to the cross. Is there salt there? Yes, there is. It's you and me. We're the salt of the new covenant. Just as there was salt in the old covenant at every sacrifice, we're the salt of the new covenant. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." What's he talking about? He's talking about that we are sacrificed with Christ. We are there. We die with Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're risen with Christ. That's the resurrection of the new birth. That's what takes place. We are the salt of the covenant. We are the salt of the covenant that Jesus Christ has placed upon us. So that we are then showing the world the covenant that Jesus has. That if you come to him by faith, you have new life. That's what being salt is all about. And it is an amazing blessing to think that God is using us in that manner. But if we're not being salt, how does the world see it? How does the world know it? It is for the healing of wounds, isn't it? Don't they use salt to heal wounds? Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, every believer has been wounded by the word of God purposefully because of our sin. And we've come to Christ, and he's healed us. How does he do that? He uses his people. He uses his people as we come and we confess our sins one to another. What happens? We forgive one another. We forgive one another, and we're built up in the faith. That's salt. That's showing a different way to the world. We're loving our enemies just as God loved us while we were his enemy. It is amazing, isn't it, to think about, to consider. So how do you become salt? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, being born of the Spirit, as Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Not going back into your mother's womb, but born of the Spirit. There is a then and a now. There's a once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was blind, but now I can see. I used to be able to walk. Now I can walk. I was lame, but now Jesus has given me legs to follow after him. Once I was blind, I had no eyes to see spiritual things, but he's given me sight. I had no ears to hear his word. Now I hear his word. That's the miracle of salvation. It's a change in who you are. A drastic change. And what happens? You have a desire for the things of God. You have a desire for his word to be around his people, to grow, to pray, to draw closer. That's what being salt is all about. Because as you do those things, you are changed. You're conformed to his image instead of the image of the world. And there's no way that the world can't tell. It changes you. It makes you salt. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Consider that. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We abide in him. That's what he's talking about. When you're abiding in Christ, guess what you are? You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. The earth needs that salt. It needs it desperately. Society is going to continue to go down the same path it is unless there is salt applied. And that salt can make a difference because it's the power of God in Christ Jesus to change a life. That's what he's talking about over and over and over again. The Beatitudes, they point at what we are. It's a definition of salt. And as we are salt, others are given a little taste. They see that, they taste that saltiness and say, that's what I want. That's what I need. How do I have what you've got? But too often, we show no mercy, we show no kindness in our speech, we don't show ourselves to be any different than the world. And they say, well, why would I want what you've got? You're just as grumpy as I am. You're saying the same things I'm saying. Well, no, we need to be salt so that they say, wow, how could you be so kind when somebody's been so mean? They walked all over you and you still said, pray for them. We were talking about it in Sunday school today. Stephen, he's being stoned and he asks the Lord to forgive them. Could you do that? He was salt. And later on, when Saul is saved, that act of Stephen had an influence. It made a difference in the life of Saul. And see, and we can be a difference in the lives of those around us if we're salt. What's the location of salt? Be in the world, but not of it. It's a hard balance to be in the world, but not of it. There are people that are out there that look and sound and that, boy, they just, they're the epitome of what a Christian is, except they're not in the world. They're not being salt. They've reclused themselves. It's the same thing that all those monks did many years ago, and they think they're being holy and being pure. They're set apart. Yes, they're set so far apart that they have no influence with anybody. That's not being salt. It's a hard thing to be in the world, but not of it. But you can't be salt, the salt of the earth, if you're not there. He asks us to be there. Not because we want to be friends with the world, but because the world will be blessed by us. And yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, we'll be persecuted. Yes, they'll revile you. But take joy in that because they did the same thing to your Savior. It's amazing. God has said, you're my ambassador. You're what I'm leaving behind to speak forth my word. How are we doing? Are we, you know, it would be a bad thing if England had an ambassador that went over to Europe right now and the ambassador said the exact opposite of what the government wanted them to say. Well, if we are ambassadors for Christ that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, are we saying what Christ has said? Are we representing him faithfully to what he has asked us to do? And he says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You know, with this time of year, we see salt all the time, don't we? When we're walking down the pathways and we're driving on the roads, there's salt everywhere. Because of the ice. Because that salt isn't good to be used for wounds. It's not good to be used to preserve food. It's not good for taste. It's not good for a covenant. It's good for nothing but to make it so that the road is free of ice. It's going to be trodden under foot of men because it's lost its saltiness. It's not the proper type of salt. You say, well, how does that work with Christians? Well, you can ask Lot. Did he have any salt? He lost his salt for most of his life. He wasn't salty. What about Abraham when he's in Egypt in Genesis chapter 12? Was he salty? No. He's saying, no, she's my sister, not my wife. And it wasn't until God intervenes that something changes. What about Peter in Galatians chapter 2 when he dissembles and he says, no, I'm not going to do that now. When he was eating with them all the time before, when he was eating with the Gentiles, but some Jews from Jerusalem show up, he says, no, I'm not going near them. He lost his saltiness. It's good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. How is it possible to lose your saltiness and gain it back? I don't know. I hope so. You know, there's always forgiveness when it comes to the Lord, isn't there? We draw close to Him, and He'll draw close to us. Draw near unto the Lord, and He'll draw near unto you. Flee from the devil. If you're a Christian today, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. Are you behaving that way? It flows directly from the Beatitudes. Study the Beatitudes. See the characteristics of what Christianity ought to look like. Does it resemble who you are? If you don't think so, then seek the Lord. Seek the Lord today. Mourn over your sin. Draw close to Jesus Christ. Seek forgiveness at His feet, because He is the only one that can forgive it. We point you to Jesus today. Amen.